Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hi, well, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. I am Doug Llewellyn, and it's nice to have you with us today. We're excited because we're proud to welcome back Holly Wells of I Love Nature to our microphones. As you know, Holly's been recognized as one of the women making a difference here in America, and she's being featured in this really extraordinary series of radio broadcasts here on Close Up Radio, and she's back again today. She, by the way, is the founder of Chicago-based I Love Nature. It's an open-source nonprofit organization that's dedicated to sharing effective practices for sustainable living. As Holly puts it, if you do something good for yourself, that's to do something good for the world, and to do something good for the world is to do something good for everyone, no question about it. And Holly points out, I Love Nature really is all about reconciling your professional values with your personal values, and she created I Love Nature. It's a website, by the way, and I Love Nature, the I is spelled E-Y-E, so if you want to look it up, you'll find it very fascinating, but you have to spell it right, E-Y-E, lovenature.com. And she actually created this to complement her values as and what she does as a professional IT consultant and a finance consultant. So she's heavily involved in that world, but this is a whole different ballgame when you talk about I Love Nature. Anyway, Holly is back today, and we're going to be talking about choices. That's the subject matter today, choices. Holly, welcome back from your base in Chicago. Nice to have you today. How are you? How's it out in Chicago?
I'm good. It's nice good. And breezy today, I would have to say. So very breezy. Nice to be here.
Very good. I assume you're hibernating like most everybody is, staying in, wearing a mask when you have to go out, doing all of that.
Of course, of course. And a special shout out and thanks to, of course, our healthcare workers and all our essential workers. So thank you for your commitment.
Yes, no question about that. Good for you. Well, when you say the subject matter is choices, what are you talking about? When you come down to the word choices, what do you mean?
Yes, perfect. So just to quickly go through what we began in this series, we started with our show one, and we were talking about perspective, which, again, couldn't have been at a more timely situation with what we're dealing with the pandemic situation right now. So, and I spoke about awareness, and I think I mentioned Bob Proctor, where he speaks about a good example is really bringing to the forefront that we actually go through our day with 95% of our choices. We make them unconsciously, you know. And so the visual, because I always love visuals, and this one that he always described why it stuck with me so well is he just, you know, it's a picture of an iceberg, which, you know, that's very visual. And then you can see above the water is a very tiny tip of the iceberg, and then underneath it, which is the 95%, and that's all the choices we've just made. And then the top is the tiny little tip that we have made consciously. So that was the perspective of how we kicked off the series, is just to talk about perspective. And again, with today's world, it's just a really good time as we're all able to slow down and look and have perspective. So it's just it's a good practice to open up to. So I wanted to bring that back to our attention as we get started.
I think that's good indeed. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, perfect. And so when we talk about choice, where that builds on is, well, there's two things. You can make a choice, and then you can defer or elect to not make a choice. So sometimes that's true. So sometimes not making a choice is actually a great choice, and sometimes doing nothing is the best choice. One, if you need more data, certainly you should wait. Or two, if you are comfortable with the current situation, there's no need to upset the apple cart, right? So if things are great, or if you don't yet have all the facts, doing nothing is great, or at least delaying the choice. However, sometimes people, I think, myself included, this is how I learn all of my tools and techniques is, of course, self-discovery. Sometimes when I think we make no choice, we think we're delaying a choice. And that's where I think I want to focus on, because that's the tricky one. So it's helpful to know when you're making a choice and when you're delaying it, because oftentimes you think you're delaying a choice. In reality, you're deferring that choice or de facto giving that choice to someone else. So I think I'd mentioned to you earlier that my example here is, say you were going to make a choice and you're 90%, maybe even 75% leaning in one direction, but you didn't quite make a choice yet. Well, you've missed a deadline and now someone has chosen for you and they've chose against that option. Now you might be stuck with, or at least have to go through a lot of red tape to undo that circumstance, when in fact you really were pretty clear what choice you wanted. So that's where I just want to be clear. Sometimes making a choice, although it's difficult, you should make it, right? But certainly there are sometimes you need to weigh the facts before making a choice. So that was kind of just to frame things out.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was just thinking, I had an experience. It happened just 2 weeks ago. I've been planning on doing something this summer, okay, with my wife. And I had reservations for an airline flight to go, but they were on hold. They hadn't been purchased. And I kept thinking, well, maybe I should go ahead and pay for these tickets now. Go ahead and get it done. And I'd been putting it off for 3 or 4 days. I had a 7-day limit. They were on hold. And finally I decided, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I know I could wait and do this tomorrow, but I'm going to do it today. So I did it, and I splurged, and I spent the money for the airline tickets to Europe and back. And don't you know, an hour after I made that decision, I got an email from Europe saying that the event we were going to Europe for had been canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. And I was kicking myself. Why did I wait one more hour, and then I wouldn't have to go through all the rigmarole of getting a refund and getting everything turned back from the airlines? That's choices, right? That's a clear example. I should have sat down and waited another hour rather than making that choice when I did. I don't know. That's an example. Anyway.
It is. That's a perfect example. And so, again, perspective, you go back to, these are all tools. So go back to perspective, step one. Well, you at least made a decision that you wanted to go on a trip, right? So that was a commitment. That was good. You were spurred by your passion that you wanted to spend time with your wife doing something exciting, and that is wonderful, right? So you actually went beyond that. You made a decision, and you took action. So the fact that this didn't work out is probably why you were weighing it anyway, because maybe this isn't the exact trip you should have taken, okay? So again, out of your hands, it got canceled. But the fact is, you did make a commitment and you did take a step forward. So now I'm sure you're going to get a refund. Yes, it's a big hassle. So I'm going to go down the pike, but eventually you're going to go somewhere. So the point is, this is why I always say life unfolds before us and we're always dealt with what we're dealing with. So now you already got an event that it was canceled. Maybe now they'll send you an email of the next event. And it'll be exactly what you wanted. And then you'll be very happy that you waited. So again, I always go through, wow, what is going to happen next? Because my life is hilarious. So that's why I would never recommend that someone follow exactly what I'm doing, nor could I map it out for them. But I have found and learned a lot of things, probably by stepping in the wrong thing many times, because if I don't learn a lesson, I will learn it over. I'll try it again. That's at least the good and the bad of it. I will step into it. That's why I love, I talked to last week, freedom to fail. I don't think it's so bad. Of course, it's terrible. I'm not recommending you fail, but it's also a label we put on things. So failure, you can put in the category, is terrible, and sometimes it feels bad. But just like that, sometimes when you fail, it ends up being really good, because now you fail at something that you were spending a lot of time on that maybe you're just not, you don't have the aptitude for. And once you devote time to something else and you open up your eyes, right, perspective and awareness to something else, you might stumble upon something that was, one, right in front of you, two, that you're actually naturally really gifted in and you end up excelling in. And you know what? That opportunity would have never happened had you not failed at whatever you were trying so hard to do. So although sometimes you think something's well on your current passion, maybe you have better options in store that you don't even know yet. So again, I just go with the flow because you have to, right? So that's what it's all about. So sometimes we make choices and sometimes choices are made for us. And then how do we react to them?
That's a very good point. You know, you have such advice. I mean, you're a professional. You live in the world of high finance and dealing with numbers and clients. But this is a whole different side of you. This I love nature and your advice on different things on our living life. Do you give your advice to your clients? I would assume they come to you wondering what they're going to hear when they come in next, whether it's going to be about high finance and numbers or it's how to live life better and survive, you know? How about that?
I do separate them. I really do not try to talk about anything outside of, obviously, our project work when I'm on site. But for those people who are having a personal conversation, certainly that does come as part of my package. It's who I am. But No, it's just the way I try to look at things holistically, and I think we even talked about that in one of the shows before, is that I really like to take the drama out of it, which is, again, I'm an IT finance person, which I think is what I try to do, is just look at the facts, right? So look at the data elements. So that's what I do with my clients, is I try to look at the facts, what they're trying to do, look at the problem, look at the players, right? So you try to look at all the different elements, how they relate, you put them together, you know strategically where you're going, what the options are, and then you just communicate. So I guess that's another great point. You're such a good transitioner, is communication. Because without communication, you certainly do not effectively know what your options are when you're making choices. You might miss deadlines, right? So all these things are very clear. So as always, communication is a key factor of everything. So that's a great segue.
You know, communication is very important. If you look at your website, I Love Nature, one of the big things you focus on is collaboration. Communication and collaboration. Collaboration is very important. And you say it's absolutely crucial. Talk to me about that a moment. Why do you feel that way, and why do you focus on that, and really give people advice on collaboration on your website?
Sure. I do think collaboration is critical. I think that's where, again, it goes down to, I've spoke about being the smartest person in the room is wonderful, but one, I don't think one person is the smartest person on every topic. That would be really incredible, first of all. But secondly, I think that there is magic when you get people together, and especially with this idea of perspective in mind. You can come in with whatever you just thought about or what your personal last experience was, and that's what's in your mindset and your focus. So you're going to attack your next initiative with that in mind. Of course, that's your current lens. So then if you have other people that are team, equal team or peers, just even, you know, subject matter experts, that you're actually listening to their advice, right? They can bring in a lot of information that you might not be aware of, or new information, or very old information, but is very critical to this current problem to solve it, right? So you might have the latest, greatest, but if you don't know some problem that you're going to run up against, your solution could very well be the worst solution ever. So one, it's always good to have your eyes open to know what's coming, just to be aware. But secondly, again, it's perspective and just having people talk through. That's why people brainstorm, right? That's why that's that old-fashioned thing of you get people in the room and just collaborate and, you know, create the pool of trust so that no idea is a bad idea, because it's true. It might seem crazy right now at this second, but at one, it might trigger a second thought, or it might take you down a different road, or it may be very helpful later. So that's why, again, it's helpful in brainstorming sessions to even document crazy ideas, because the crazier, the better, you know? So yeah, communication and thinking outside the box, these are all terms we hear a lot, but it's the reason why they're tried and true, because they work, right?
Absolutely. Very interesting indeed. You know, I have to ask you about this response that we're all experiencing with the coronavirus. You point out it's given everybody an opportunity to slow down, and you say rebuild the world. Everybody's being forced to slow down and globally reset their values. Expand on that a little bit. You're making choices, no question about it, but when you slow down like we have, and we've been forced to, a lot of people are being forced to think about their lives and to make some changes and reset some of their values. It's very interesting that you mentioned that. Are you going through that yourself, by the way?
I think that's something that I go through a lot, but I do it by choice, because I feel like, and that's one thing I speak about a lot, is embracing change. And that is something that I think I've mentioned, I've given lectures on embracing change, because I really think that's something that I, as a consultant, I'm doing. I am a change agent, right? That's what I'm helping my clients do, is to implement their strategic changes in their corporations. So just taking on change is something I'm aware of all the time. So I think that's why I'm in the business that I'm in, and I'm fascinated by it, right? And so I think one of the things that helps change happen is there needs to be either an outside stimulation or inside, right? Either I'm awakened and I choose that one day I'm going to wake up and choose a better life for myself, or worse. You can make bad choices, but let's always focus on the positive, that, you know, you're going to wake up and make a better choice, and, or, you know, go move forward. So I think that's why at this point, it's an outside stimulus, and it's to everyone. So I think at some point you have these mechanisms, or you have something that's in operation, it's the mechanisms in the wheel, and there's just no way to stop, something's in motion. So one, we have this attention span of a lot of people that we would never typically have, which is, again, a benefit and a call it a bonus, but certainly nothing we would have sought out or created ourselves. But it is a byproduct of our current situation. So let's take advantage of that, the opportunity. And so I think that's what I mean by that is leveraging. So leveraging this moment of awareness where we can make better decisions. And then two, some things are already stopped. So it's hard to stop things in motion. But if some things are already stopped, we're kind of partway there. So it's harder to stop something and turn it around. But if something's already stopped, it's harder to start it back up, right? So it's things like that. I just think there are a lot of things aligning. And I just notice, I like to notice things. You know, I take the macro look at things. And we're just at this very global moment where we're all awake. We're all looking at things. And we're all have the time on our hands. And let's all make better choices as we start things up and get things moving.
You know, I'm amazed to hear you say you give lectures on embracing change. What do you tell people in lectures where you're talking about that subject? What kind of message do you have for them?
I think it's about philosophy, and I think that's my overall take on everything. As you know, I try to be an opportunist, a realist, though. I think that you need to look ahead and plan for things, but if you do that, then obviously there's less cataclysms because you have your business plans in place. As I think I mentioned, my client, when this clearly took place, full steam ahead. I'm, you know, operating on projects and doing work full steam because they had business plans in place. You know, they had enough user licenses. So we're all working constantly as we were before, of course, remote. So there's that challenge as we talked about communication. So there's that gap. But other than that, and, you know, just what everyone else is dealing with, we're full steam ahead. So as far as you can look ahead, you can plan ahead and make things better. Can you avoid everything? Of course not. But it's how, again, you choose to react. And with better plans, you have better options. So, again, I've mentioned many times my favorite quote, chance favors the prepared mind. So that comes to mind. So, again, I feel like I'm a brokered record, but I know we learn by repetition. So many of the things, I try to keep things very simple, and I like to be repetitive. And that's how I feel, at least for me, things sink in, and they just interlink, and it seems clear.
That's very interesting indeed. No question about it. I have to ask you, I point out all the time that you're the founder of I Love Nature and you've created this really unique website. Talk to me, we really should talk a little bit about that because there are a lot of people who may not have any idea of what you mean by I Love Nature and why you've gotten into this and created this very effective and very interesting website. No, pardon me, no question about it. How did you get involved in doing this subject to begin with, of I Love Nature? Where did that begin?
100% organic. That's why it's awesome that, of course, it's called I Love Nature. And it came, as you had intimated before, really it's a byproduct or the opposite side of my professional life. So really it's all the things that I did myself or sought out to balance myself. So, you know, I'm definitely a workaholic. I, you know, put my all into something that I'm doing. And so I personally am lucky and fortunate enough that, you know, I don't have, you know, children and I had enough financial ability to save up, and I've myself taken by choice and convenience to my own personal schedule, two separate sabbaticals in my life. So this year, I think I've mentioned before, I've turned the big 50, so I'm 50 years old. So it's not crazy that twice, you know, within my life, I've taken separately a year off, you know, just to just learn things and just to, you know, seek out other alternatives. I think the first time I'd mentioned on one of my show series here might have been the first time that one of my times off, I was watching, I'm very nerdy, I've mentioned that before, I was watching C-SPAN, a book review, and I forget the gentleman who wrote the book, but he was recommending that one of the things he noticed, and again, he was a longer in his years, so he'd had many, many, many different jobs throughout his lifetime, and he had just looking back said that reflecting that really he thought helped make him who he was, because one is all of your life experiences, you get to see a slice of life through different people's eyes, and you get to actually just see how it all interconnects, because it's very different to hear about someone's job or think you understand it than to actually, as we say, walk in someone's shoes, right? So he had talked about the different various jobs that between him and his wife they had over their lifetimes and what that then impacted on their life, and I found it fascinating. So, of course, when I was at a time where maybe I wasn't loving my job, we've all been there, I just decided to make a choice. So, of course, I made my own choices and taken different jobs, but at some point I realized I was just going to get out of a dead-end job, and if nothing was currently available or I didn't know what I wanted to do, that's what I elected to take a sabbatical. So I've done that twice, and on these various sabbaticals, that's where I've either, you know, through, as I mentioned, either gone on retreats or, you know, just a lot of reading. I love reading, or just, you know, interacting with other people. I've come upon all these principles, and so that's where, again, as you mentioned, it's all open source because I love to share. I feel that the more that you learn and the more you share, that that's how we all raise our reality and move forward as a species. So, yeah, that's kind of how it evolved.
Do you recommend that for people, if they can afford to do it, to take a year off, take a sabbatical, and just reassess their life? Or do you think that that really is not for everyone? How do you feel about that?
It's definitely not for everyone. I would have to say if you're totally type A and you don't have a plan, you could really spiral into you could spiral out of control if you don't have a plan. But again, I had things I wanted to do, and I'm very good at keeping myself busy. And again, I had also the funds. So again, you have to have things, parameters in place and a safety net. So all those things in place, yes, I would recommend it to anyone who does love to do this self-exploration and is going to do something productive with the time and, you know, has the ability to take that time off. That absolutely, I would recommend it. But to people who can't, at least that's why I definitely recommend people who have vacation time. And I know we're often busy. I'm definitely one of those people where, just like you said, you want to take a vacation or you just keep putting it off and putting it off. So I know even that if we're, you know, sheltering in place. I have a coworker who is working so hard on our project, so I'm so glad she's able to take time off. Granted, I don't know where they're going or what they're doing. It's very much different than what you might want to take as a vacation, right? So you're probably taking up your vacation time and thinking, I have worked how long for these X number of weeks, and is this how I want to spend them? I don't know. Maybe it is. It could, to your point, be an amazing opportunity. So you just never know. But yes, mental health, I'm always an advocate. Downtime definitely is needed. So maybe, as I said, the whole world needed a little bit of a break. Again, I don't think we would have brought this on ourselves, but slowing down is maybe what we needed to do and shift our perspective. So I think that's what I meant by that. Reflection.
You know, you point out you've had many various jobs. Have they all been your professional jobs? Have they all been in the finance sector? Or have you done lots of different things that we don't even have a clue about?
I have done some things which are different. I have been a professional real estate agent for several years with Keller Williams. I recommend them. They were a great association. I met some of my best friends, and one of the members of my I Love Nature nonprofit was I met through real estate. So you never know, again, who you will meet. So I recommend going into anything you find interesting. I have, when I was on my first sabbatical, my first sabbatical, I was for a year a licensed bartender. So that was very interesting living here in Chicago. What I actually, because with my licensing, I had my alcohol license. So I actually partnered up with a franchise that was doing catering for some nice homes here in the North Shore. And so most of my events were actually not large events. They were actually in-home empty nesters who were filling events for, like, either their kids were off to school or whatever event you might have it be. So yes, it was awesome experience and a different slice of life that I would have never experienced had that not happened. So so that's just a couple examples. So absolutely. And I'm sure other people have that as well, where you do different things and it just helps expand who you are as a person.
I never would have imagined you being a professional bartender. That sounds great. But what a great experience when you really look back on it. No question about it. Let me ask you, I want to get back to I Love Nature because it's an amazing website, and I'm wondering what you want people to get out of this website when they go to it. Because this is not something where, you know, you're not making money off of this. You're really giving people some great advice on how to help change their life, and you point out respect is very important. That's one of the big things about this website and what it's all about in your opinion. Talk to me about I Love Nature and what you want people to get out of it. And it's something that's near and dear to you. Obviously, you spent a lot of time on this.
I did, and it's very funny because one of my mentors actually is Jennifer McLean, and I took a course with her, and she's fantastic with marketing and all of this. And if she took a look at this right now, she would have so many critiques. I appreciate your feedback. It's very generous. But the first thing is, when you have a website, I have something which is a lot of loose ends, but this is by design because, as you mentioned, what do I want to get out of it? I want whoever goes to the site to get out of it whatever they find interesting. So whatever they click on, it might lead you to something else, you know. So that's where I'm saying it's all these loose ends, so it does not bring you back to my website. So if you go on my website, you could easily get distracted down a rabbit hole, and that is the intention. So the intention is to go there, and that whatever you find interesting, that's where you should go, right? So I'm not trying to really directly mentor anyone through I Love Nature. It's really to just present all these wonderful tools and people, affiliates, associations that I think really help me, and just click on them if somebody reads something about it and they're like, wow, that sounds really interesting. Let me find out more about that. That could be a really eye-opening experience for them. So that's what I want people to get out of it, is exposure. And then, as I mentioned, choices, right? So today and in each now moment going forward, I want people to make their personal best choices. So whatever they click on and what resonates with them is wonderful. Maybe somebody already wants to eat healthier and they'll be gravitated towards that. There's other things. I think I have HeartMath listed on there, and they're an institute which right now, if you click on that, it's fascinating. And I think I alluded to it in our last show together, where right now especially HeartMath has monitors all around the world that monitors seismic information. And so right now in this slowdown period, they're able to register different impacts and how they relate around the world, which normally there's so much noise they couldn't tie in the events so succinctly. So it's able to get better calibrations and some interesting information. So to me, again, if you're very geeky, I'm going down a rabbit hole, but things like that. So to me, that's really cool. And it's how, when you resonate and you find clarity, it's really how you open up and you resonate with your heart and your mind, and then you literally find a harmonic resonance. And that's really what I Love Nature is all about, is finding that harmonic resonance. So, yeah, it's a long answer for you.
And do you get a lot of comment? Do you get feedback from people? I would assume, you know, you do. And they obviously they're all over. They can be all over the place. All of this goes around the world. You could hear from people all over the world. And do you?
I do. Yes. And I love going to retreats, and I'm often invited to speak places, and I would love to speak at many of them. I honestly don't have that bandwidth. But as I say, I love the personal interaction and communicating a message, and maybe I'm delivering it in a fresh way or a different way, but I think the message is out there, but it's always when you hear it and how you hear it. So I mentioned before, I've heard things 1,000 times, you know, it's on, you know, that show I've watched many reruns of Modern Family. And I think the wife, Claire, talks about the salad and the wedge salad. And she's been telling her husband, he goes out with someone, a realtor or something, and he has a wedge salad and comes home and tells her how delightful. Have you ever heard of this thing? And she has a freak out moment because she's been telling him and recommending him to this for years. So it's one of those moments where it doesn't matter. Now he likes them and he's eating them. So the point is awareness, right? To make people aware of better choices and being healthy.
Well, I think it's just amazing what you've done. And it's interesting. It has nothing to do with your real career. You don't have a website to promote your business in the world of high finance. You're not out pushing that. Did you ever think about doing that?
No, that's already going. I don't need to push it.
You don't need to.
I'm not broken. Yeah, it's not broken, so I'm not working on that.
Well, that's good. Lucky for you. I think it's just remarkable what you do, Holly. Our guest has been Holly. Well, Holly, we've gone through a half hour just like that. Crazy. In any event, I would encourage folks who, take a look at Holly's website, and you'll see what she's talking about. There are a lot of different things to explore there. And, again, it's ilovenature.com, and the I is spelled E-Y-E, ilovenature.com. Holly Wells, based in Chicago. Holly, thanks for being with us. I hope I hope everything goes well now, and you keep hibernating in this pandemic period we're living in. And I hope it ends soon for all of us. And I'm sure you agree, right?
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Holly. Nice chatting with you. It's been great having you as a guest on these series of shows here on Close Up Radio, where we have some absolutely amazing guests, some of the most amazing guests on radio anywhere. You'll find them right here on Close Up Radio. So thank you for being with us. Holly Wells in Chicago. Again, her website, ilovenature.com, and you'll learn how you can get in touch with her if you're interested by going to that website. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back again soon again on Close Up Radio. Take care, everybody, and wear a mask.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.